Let me first tell you this story. There was an old Baptist pastor who decided that he was one to sell his horse and his buggy. He went to sell his horse and his buggy. He went down to his blacksmith in the town that he lived in. And when he went to sell his horse and his buggy, he said to the blacksmith, "Now I want to tell you that this is a special horse. It's a special horse because this horse doesn't respond to the normal commands of whoa and giddy up. No, this is a Baptist horse. So this Baptist horse responds to the commands, amen, to stop, and praise the Lord, to go fast." They finished their transaction and the pastor went home and went on vacation, and the blacksmith decided to take his horse out. And he took his horse out and he was riding his horse, and all of a sudden the horse was startled by a snake, as a good Baptist horse would do. And a good Baptist horse was startled by the snake, and the horse started to bolt. And riding in the mountains, the blacksmith was heading right towards a cliff on the back of this horse. And he got close to the cliff and he said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And he realized that that wasn't working and said, "Amen." And he said, "Amen." And the horse stopped on the side of that cliff. The stones were going over the edge and dropping 1,000 feet. And relieved, he sat back in his saddle and he said, "Praise the Lord." There's another Baptist pastor who got a call from his deacon midsummer. And the deacon said, "I've got good news for you and bad news for you. The good news is our church attendance has gone up significantly in the last 3 weeks. Bad news is you've been on vacation for 3 weeks." And let me tell you this story as well. One day a mom woke up and realized that it was getting late. It was Sunday morning and she knew that she wanted to have her son go to church. So she called her son and said, "Son, it's time to go to church." Her son said, "I don't want to go. I don't want to go to church today." His mom said, "You got to go to church today." And the son said, "Well, give me one good reason why I should go to church today." The mom said, "Well, I'll give you 3 good reasons. Number one, I'm your mom and I'm telling you to go to church. Number two, you're 40 years old, and as a grown man, you should know better than to skip church. And the third, you're the pastor, and they need you to be at the church today." My question for you this morning is, are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy to be here? It's an interesting question to ask from the point of view that when we think about happiness, and here's a happy catfish, the happiness that you experience from day to day, sometimes it's good to check in with yourself and say, "Am I happy? What does this mean to be happy?" So let me just give you a range. As a financial planner, I guess I've thought a little bit in these range sort of dynamics. So let me give you a range. Are you satisfied? Are you content? Are you grateful? Are you at this point in your life? Are you pleased? Are you cheerful? Are you happy? Let's go a little further. Maybe you've had an exciting summer. Perhaps you're delighted, or you're glad, or you're joyful. Are you blissful? Are you blessed? In our church, we sometimes work with this kind of dynamic of happiness, the range of happiness, those things that I mentioned. We have joy on the side of our church every Sunday morning. Joy. And when we think about the Bible and how it presents these things, happiness actually isn't really in the Bible as much as other things. Happy is only found 20 times in the Bible. But gladness is found 108 times. I think if you wanted to look for a word in the Bible that approximated happy of today is glad. Are you glad? We still use it, but not as much as happy. But there's other words, like joy in the Bible is found 242 times. Do you have joy? And blessed is found 217 times. So there's this range, you could say, satisfied, content, grateful, pleased, cheerful, happy, delighted, glad, joyful, blissful,
blessed.
What is the definitions? Let's think about for a moment what I'm talking about. Well, let me define glad for you. If you think of yourself as glad this morning, it means that you have a cheerful disposition by nature, that you experience or are experiencing pleasure, joy, or delight, that you've been made happy, pleased, satisfied, grateful, that you're expressing or experiencing happiness and joy full of brightness and cheerfulness. That's what gladness means. If you're glad, you experience those things. Perhaps a number of these together. What about joy? What is joy defined as? Joy is defined as an emotion evoked by success, good fortune, or the prospect of possessing what you desire, felicity, bliss. How about blessed? Why would I have blessed at the top of this list? It's kind of a strange word, perhaps, to say blessed is at the top of the joy or the happiness scale. Well, blessed is an interesting word in the Bible. In our English usage, we use both dynamics, but we often don't use them together. Blessed is defined as being in reverence or veneration or honor and worship. God's blessed or blessed. We want to bless someone, so it's a religious thing. But blessing is also defined as enjoying happiness. Blessed, enjoying happiness. Blessed is defined as bringing pleasure, contentment, or good fortune. So blessed is divine joy or divine happiness. So when we look at the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes start with, blessed are you when you are poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Jesus is using a word that in his day meant God's blessing of happiness, God's provision of joy is blessed. So I was thinking about this question. Where are you on the scale? And what does it mean to be on that scale in terms of being happy? We want to be happy. I looked at the body of knowledge of happiness. Happiness has been pursued largely by psychologists. And happiness has been pursued by the likes of Abraham Maslow and been pursued by Martin Seligman. But when you look at the data or the information on happiness, it seems like when you look at just even the brief amount that I looked at, it seems to come in two directions. Happiness comes from others. It's a other-based thing. So we look at things like people can steal our joy, or people can make your joy complete. You could see in a card by Hallmark, you make me happy. You see that? Things make you happy. People make you happy. Happiness is other-based. But happiness also can be self-determined. In the American dream, it's the pursuit of happiness. You have the freedom to do that. In the Bible, sorry, let me back up a bit. Happiness, because it comes through your mind and your body and your soul and emotions, is somewhat self-determined. You can decide if you're happy. You can decide if you express joy. So it's somewhat self-determined. But it's impacted by what's happening around you. The classic story, one of the classic stories in the Bible is Elijah was a great prophet. Elijah was told by God to challenge the prophets of Baal, some 400 prophets. And he was out in the desert and they were proving the power of God. And he demonstrated God's power. When he demonstrated God's power in 1 Kings 19, he then went up into the mountains. And he went up to the mountains, he was exhausted. He was tired. The queen was pursuing him to kill him. And he sat down under a tree with his arms crossed and said, "I just want to die." You can read it for yourself. He was not happy. And God responded in a very interesting way. God, if you remember the story, sent an angel to bring him food and drink and commanded him, God commanded him to eat and drink and sleep. You see, Elijah was a little grumpy. God had just demonstrated his power through Elijah. He's up in the mountains and it's just a little pout fest with Elijah. So God says, you know, you're hungry, you're thirsty, and you're tired. So just eat. And he says this to him twice. And Elijah gets up happy. It's kind of an interesting story. By eating and drinking, it's one of the determinants of happiness. So I hope you've had something to eat this morning. I hope you've had your morning coffee, which is a determinant for me of my happiness. Just a cup of coffee. It's pretty simple. When you look at the body of knowledge on happiness, Maslow came up with a hierarchy of needs. It's, I would say, the hierarchy of happiness. How do we become happiness? Well, happy, it's the hierarchy of needs. Seligman said, happiness is not solely derived from external or momentary pleasures, but it's also inwardly driven. So there's five things. Let me just briefly say five things to you that will make you happy. These are simple things that you can do that will make you happy. Number one, the first determinant of happiness is pleasure. It comes from eating and drinking and breathing and other natural functions that actually make you happy. This is making me happy. So some people say, you know, I'm just not happy. Say, hey, go get a drink. It'll actually make you happier. So that's one determinant, is looking after yourself will make you happy. You have the right to do that. Number two, engagement, they say. The absorption of an enjoyed, challenging activity or achievement. Janet and I were at a conference last year, and it was a conference on people that were palliative and what some of the last stages that they experienced, knowing that their life was coming to an end. And when this professor shared with us one of the things that happened in this process, is that it was amazing how many people just said, well, it's over, to these patients, and said, well, we're still living. I know it's coming to an end, but it's not over yet. So what they found is that the patients that were experiencing palliative diseases, when they were given small tasks to accomplish, it made them happy. So if they said, well, today I'd like to make my bed, and they made the bed, and it was all done right, they felt happy because of it. Achieving things that you want to do actually makes you happy. Third thing is relationships. Social ties are an extremely reliable indicator of happiness. Other people actually make you happy, or can make you happy. Being with people together is a happiness indicator. Social dynamics. Meaning, perceived belonging to something bigger. Significance. Emotions. Being part of something, having meaning, makes you happy. The last one is accomplishments. Having your goals realized, having the security of your goals, makes you happy. I can share those with you later if you want to know more information. But all of these things are discussed in Scripture. And next week, we're going to look at the source and the pursuit and the experience and the process of blessed happiness. What the Bible says about this. But let me just share a little bit with you today. First, I want to say this to you. Janet and I were on vacation over the last 3 weeks, and so I was thinking about this joke. Well, there's a thief that was breaking into a pastor's home when he was away on holidays. And the thief broke in, and when he broke in, he was looking through the things to see what he could steal. He heard very quietly, "Jesus is watching you." He thought it was just his imagination, so he continued to look through the jewelry drawer, and he heard this, "Jesus is watching you." So he's sure that he heard the voice that time, so he took out his flashlight and pointed it around, and he found a parrot. And he shone the flashlight up, and he said, "Is that you that's saying this?" And the parrot said, "Yes. Jesus is watching you." And to himself, the thief said, "What's your name?" And the parrot said, "My name's Moses." And the thief said to himself, "What kind of people would name their parrot Moses?" And the parrot said, The same people that named their German shepherd Jesus. Today I want to just look at Psalm 100. We read Psalm 100 earlier. Just let me read this. Actually, let's read it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, before Maslow and before Seligman came along, this psalm was written thousands of years before. It's brilliant because it has things in it in terms of our happiness. Yes, church and happiness go together. Some people don't necessarily believe that, but it's true. Church and happiness go together. Why should we gather together? What should we do now and into our week? And why should we do that based on this psalm? Well, first, let's look at this. We should join creation in thanking God. There's something in our creation that is positively life-affirming, except for mosquitoes, that is, and is happening. This psalm says, join creation in thanking God. Join creation in doing that. It says, be happy in worship. Sometimes we can look at this and we say, oh yes, once a week when I go to church, I'll be happy in worship. No, that's not the context. Before God, after thanking him for the life that you're giving him, as you live your life, be happy in worship. It should not be a heavy thing that's put upon you that you feel a dread about. You should be happy in worshiping God. Sing, express joy. There's a reason why we continue to sing, express joy in church, because God has commanded it, but really it's a natural expression of who we are as humans. Do you sing in the shower? Do you sing when you're doing your job? When you're gardening? It's expression. Even if you're tone deaf and out of tune, you're still expressing something that's to be human. Singing, humming. This psalm encourages us to use that for God. Know that the Lord is God. Learning about him gives happiness, gladness to you. As John said, his word. No, learning about God gives you happiness. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people. Now, the context here might be a little bit off in our 21st century urban lifestyles, but for the people of Israel, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Know that your significance before God is he loves you. He's made you. He wants to be part of your life. And you belong to him. There's significance. He wants to have a relationship with you. Enter his courts with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Pause, gather in thanks, praise him. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We have this security in his love. At the end of this psalm, it's the driver of our happiness. The Lord is good. His love endures. His faithfulness continues forever. Through all generations. Don't worry about God being around 500 years from now. He'll still be there. 50 years from now, 5 years from now, he'll be there. Through all generations, he loves. It's a powerful word, at least in my life, about happiness, about gladness, about praising God, about finding fun in fellowship. Do you feel happier now that we've had this conversation?
Yeah.
I hope we have. Certainly the definers that we looked at, even from a psychology point of view, or even from a biblical point of view, The truth is, having something good to eat and to breathe brings you happiness. Being with other people gives you happiness. To have achievement, even if it's small achievements, brings happiness. To be part of something that's bigger and has meaning gives you happiness. We're going to continue to talk about happiness next week. I encourage you to look at this psalm again, just five verses, Psalm 100. And it really does talk about this sense of blessed happiness. Not manufactured happiness, not the world's happiness, but blessed happiness. God-given happiness. There was a police officer that pulled over a pastor and his wife as they were traveling on vacation. The problem was he was driving too slow. The police officer pulled him over. He was doing 60 kilometers an hour down the highway. The police officer pulled him over and said, "Is everything okay?" The pastor said, "Oh, yes, officer. We're just fine. Is there something wrong?" And the officer said, "Well, you're driving 60 kilometers an hour in 100. And the pastor said, "Well, I was traveling down the highway and I saw these signs 60. And the officer said, "Well, that was the number of the road. If you're looking for kilometers per hour, you have to look at the speed signs. Don't go 60. So the pastor said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And for the first time, the officer looked over and saw the pastor's wife. Well, she was gripping the front of the dashboard. Her face was white, and she wasn't moving at all. And the officer said, "Is she okay?" And the pastor said, "Yeah, she's fine. It's just that we just turned off the 401. I was not traveling 400 kilometers an hour on my holiday. I wasn't traveling 60 and 100 either, but I just wanted to share that with you. And I hope that you will enjoy your day and that you'll be happy today. I pray that you will experience gladness of heart, that you'll experience joy, and that you will also taste blessed happiness. Happiness that you know comes from God because He loves you, because He wants you to enjoy the life that He's given to you, partly because by smiling and by sharing blessed happiness with others, it demonstrates your faith in Him. It demonstrates that you have a purpose in life and that you have a relationship with God and with others."